I'm going to turn the meeting over to Arlene to introduce our speaker. All yours, Arlene.
Thank you, Jay. Hi, everyone. I'm Elaine. I'm an addict.
Hey, Helen.
Hi,
Hi,
Helen.
Elaine.
Good to be here. The speaker, I'm so happy to introduce the speaker. I met the speaker, I think in my first year of recovery, and I heard her share a few times and her message of recovery, her positivity, and her willingness to help the newcomer when I was there arriving. I found her very inspiring, and I was because the meeting that we used to go to together, I only got to hear a short share from her, short shares. So I was looking forward to hear her story. So, with no further ado, Emily, please come and share with us.
Thank you, Ellen. I'm Emily. I'm an addict.
Hi, Emily.
Hi,
Welcome.
Emily.
Hi,
Thank
Emily.
you.
Welcome.
Thank you so much for asking me to share. And I just want to take a moment and ask my higher power for help to just be true to my story and to our message of recovery. Yeah. I'm grateful to be clean just for today. I'm coming up on 5 years in a few days. And so this is not a birthday share, but it's like a couple of weeks before a birthday share. And it's always when it comes around, it's such a special time with a lot of emotions. Just the season reminds me of where I was when I was the most desperate, when I was in that period of struggling to stop using, not being able to use successfully, but really not knowing how to stop on my own. Like that desperation and that like feeling of powerlessness is it's all coming back to me when the time comes around. It's my fifth year in recovery, so I'll be celebrating 5 years if everything goes as my higher power intends, and if I choose so to stay clean just for today for a few more days. Yeah, it reminds me where I was, so I'm just gonna sh briefly share a little bit of my point of utter desperation and surrender, because it's so much value in that experience for me. It keeps coming up in meetings and in step work, and I hear it in other people who are coming in. I hear the same experience. I hear that deep darkness, the spiritual death and the loneliness, like looking for friends in all the wrong places and really being very, very lonely. I had made my life so small to even have like a manageable everyday life. I had to shrink everything around me, like physically too. I lived in a very, very small little like a trailer and in a friend's garden, and it was just like all I could handle was these like 12 square meters that I had and myself and my dog, and that was a lot. And then the drugs on top of that, and yeah, I realized that I just couldn't go on like that. I led like a really obsessed, compulsive life where every idea I had was a good idea. That's how I looked at it. That every impulse, every feeling of being alive, I needed to just pursue that feeling. And I wanted more. I just wanted to feel alive, which is a very, very reasonable desire for a human being, is what I've realized now. And that was what I was looking for in the drugs. I was looking for pain relief from my emotional pains as well as my physical pains. I've had several injuries to my spine, and I suffered pretty bad, like psychological abuse when I was growing up, and like all of that has had just gathered in my huge backpack that I was carrying around of suppressed emotions and these haunting memories and experiences. And it was just like not a life. I wasn't living. I was just barely surviving. I found in some step work a few weeks ago, I found where I had written how I felt like I was like how an old person feels when life is leaving them. Like that's how I felt, like how I imagine that feeling. Like I felt like my body was shutting down and I was just prepared to go. There was no life left in me. Then there was a little glimpse of hope. I was like, I can try this last thing. I could go to a meet one of those meetings. I knew nothing about Narcotics Anonymous, but looking back, I started like looking into quitting drugs and doing all the like searching online, and I even downloaded and printed the Living the Program pamphlet, thinking that I could help myself with those questions. I never even looked at the, or maybe I looked at the question. I was like, no, I'm not, like, this is not happening. I wasn't willing and to do what was required. I wasn't really, I didn't know where to go. I had tried a lot of things. I've been a seeker my whole life, and just looking for relief from myself, from whatever I was perceiving as myself. Today, I know that that was not myself. Like I've through the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous, I've gotten to know my true self, and she was in there all the time. Would you imagine, like, that spirit inside of me was never even damaged, and I thought that I would like never be able to heal, or that I was damaged forever. Like there was no hope of things getting better. Maybe like I was just looking for that last little glimpse of hope, with going to my first meeting, and it was 2020 May. Like COVID was rampant, like the worst of the worst with COVID. And I'm so grateful that the online meetings was taking off at that point, because maybe would have taken me a lot longer to get to an in-person meeting. I was so sick, like physically sick, mentally sick. Like I would treat even going to the grocery store, I would treat it like going into a war zone. And like it was a real feeling, you know, like that was how I was perceiving the world, like freaking dangerous, and like short visits would just exhaust me for weeks, and like the world was not for me. So I went to that online meeting, and it was I'm in Sweden, I'm Swedish, and this meeting was online, a lunch meeting from Texas, Dallas, Texas, and people were so welcoming, so loving, and so kind, and I just wanted more of that. So I kept coming back. I listened for what, like, what is this? Like, what are we doing here? Who is the boss of this? I wanted to know, like, who is getting paid to do this? Like, are we paying money to get this help? But then I heard the message and I realized that it's just another addict sitting there and chairing the meeting. And I listened, what I picked up on in my first few meetings were that I could be a member if I wanted to. I could recognize when they were reading the readings in the beginning. I was like, okay, what does it take to be a part of this? Okay, I'm a member. I can call myself a member. That's all it takes is a desire to stop using. And I had that. I came in with that. Yeah, and I came alive in that meeting. It was just so scary and so wonderful at the same time to be seen. Like, I spent my whole life hiding from adults, hiding from peers, hiding from teachers, hiding from myself. It was so scary that people were seeing me. I was visible, and it was like a huge turnover for me to just be someone. And people were calling me by my name, and they were remembering me from the day before. And I started to come a bit early, before the meetings. And someone asked me to read a reading, and I was like, oh, I had cold sweat, and my heart was pounding. So scary, but I did it. I just started following the suggestions, and I got caught up in this recovery thing without even like considering or contemplating in the bigger picture, like what this was. But I knew from like films and stuff, or like yeah, from TV shows, that we go to these meetings when there's nothing else that like works for us. Like when I'm desperate, when I'm defeated, this is where I go. I had picked up on that. That's when we sit in a ring and we call ourselves whatever. And in this case, just saying that I'm Emily, I'm an addict, that was a huge deal. It was huge. And raising my hand to let the group know that I had 2 days clean. It was too quick of a process the first day, so I just couldn't do it. But the second day, I was prepared. I raised my hand, and I just couldn't speak. I was hiding in my hoodie, and I was just like showing the two fingers to say that I have 2 days. And people were so loving, and yeah, I just felt like I wanted to continue to do this. And I started listening for, okay, what is it that they're doing here? Okay, meetings. I'm going to the meeting every day. I'll just keep doing that. And then I started hearing about sponsorship, and I was like, yeah, I'll be on the lookout for someone that looks like me or someone that I feel drawn to. In the end, I chose a totally different sponsor. But the first, like, I want to share this because this was such a crucial moment in my early recovery that I saved a couple of numbers to members with some clean time, and they were saying like use the numbers. I was told to get numbers and use them, and with a few days clean, I remember having a desire. Not like I didn't want to pick up drugs. I knew that that was not going to work for me. But I was like, I have this feeling. Here it is again. Like the obsession was there. And I know from my experience that that obsession always ends up becoming a compulsion. Like the thought goes into action. And I had never, ever been able to not follow that compulsion. But I was like, okay, they're telling me to do things differently. So I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna reach out and tell someone that this is how I'm feeling. So I just texted another member, and she was like, she just answered me with some like a little gif or like a little picture or something, and I was like, she's not taking me seriously. Does she not understand the severity of what I'm feeling and what could happen if I blah 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 blah. I was so caught up in this. But even that little connection with another addict relieved me of the obsession to pick up just for that day. And I had never experienced that before. So that was a huge, huge thing for me that told me that, okay, what they're doing here is working. So I just kept on doing it. And day 16, I got a sponsor. I started following suggestions. I was still self-willing a lot of things. I was willing to get recovery, but I was unwilling to let go of some of my old my lifestyle. So I was still selling drugs until I think I had 90 days, and I had a crisis because I still had drugs at home. I didn't feel like that was something that like I didn't want to keep doing it, but I didn't know what to do otherwise. Like I was also obsessed with earning money, and I had goals with this choice of career, let me call it that. And I was really in self-will about letting go of those goals. It took another 6 months before I had gotten like out of everything, out of the my connections, out of the like having drugs at home. But I was told to still pick up the key tag. I was told that you're clean. You haven't used drugs, have you? No, I haven't. So you're clean. You have 90 days clean. And some of us, we still do dirty things, even if we're clean. So with the help of my sponsor, with the help of the program, because I had started writing on my first step at that time, I realized that this is not who I want to be. If I want to be committed to my recovery, I realized that I needed to let it go. But it was not easy. I still held on to the money that I thought that I had, that were mine. I ended up giving it away, and I'm glad I did. I'm really glad I did. But it was a whole process of sharing at meetings and like talking to other members one-on-one on the phone. I had a really great sponsor who was really really good at the like reaching out to other addicts, teaching me how to do that. I had an assignment in my early recovery that I do with all of my new sponsees, which was to call 30 women in 30 days and ask them about their recovery. Like it's set questions, it's 3 or 4 questions, and it's just like a 15 to 20 minute phone call with everyone. And then that person get to send me on to the next person with 2 or more years of recovery. And it was just a great learning experience. Like at first, the first few women, I was like, they're in some kind of a scheme against me. Like they're saying the same thing. But then I kept on calling and I was like, these people don't know, they don't know each other. And still they're saying the same things, like working steps, getting a sponsor, going to meetings, following suggestions, getting into service. Like all of them were saying the same thing. And I was wondering where the program is. Like, where is the program that they're talking about? Like, what is it? Can I just like get it so that I can like hack it or something? I was always looking for the easy way. If I just could understand it, then it would work. Because that's what I had done my whole life, just trying to understand everything. But it never really helped because I never did different. I never acted differently. I just kept doing the same crazy things, but like dressed up in new costumes and like relocating, moving all the time, getting new partners and getting trained to new jobs and new occupations. And like getting new hobby, like it was just a constant chase, or like a constant seeking of that one thing that would work to relieve me from myself. I thought I didn't look at it that way at the time, but that's what I've learned, that I was seeking relief from myself. And since then, I've worked a few steps. I just finished writing on step 11. This is my first round in the steps. It's just taking some time, you know? And I've been told that this is not a race. So I have not ever felt stressed. No, that's a lie about my recovery. Because I was suggested early recovery, like not get in a romantic relationship until I'd done step 7. And that's when I felt stressed. I wanted to get to step 7 so that I could date. But once I got to step 7, I was like, I am not interested in dating. I want to get to know myself now. So yeah, just working the steps very thoroughly. I had the same sponsor for the first 3 years, and it was a good first sponsor. I'm grateful that I chose that sponsor for my earlier recovery. I got a good solid program of recovery from her, and but when it was time to swap. 'Cause there was also some patterns from my relationship with my mother that was repeating themselves. Like there was some abuse going on, looking back at it now, that I just accepted for my early recovery. 'Cause yeah, and then I kind of grew out of being treated like that, so I felt the need to switch sponsors. Now I have a my third sponsor right now, and I've been working with her now for 5 months, and I'm really, really grateful that I chose her, and that she accepted to sponsor me. She was like one of the women in my network. I've been in touch with her for my whole recovery, and I really respect her and her recovery. And I went into that relationship with all the facts. Like I have a background in, I don't know how to kind of say this without being in outside stuff. Okay, I have a background in a part of the world where there is conflict, and it's still part of my upbringing. It's still part of who I am, my identity, my culture. And that's just how it is. And she is from that part of the world, and she lives there. And it's a very heated situation in this part of the world right now. And like I went into the relationship knowing that this will come up at some point, maybe in step work, maybe because of something that I'm going through, or but she didn't have all the facts. She didn't know this about me and my background, and I was scared to tell her, and I started feeling like I was keeping secrets, and that's the last person I want to be keeping secrets to from. And something came up a few weeks ago, and I was like, this is the day. This is the day I tell her. And it was so scary. It was so freaking scary to just be honest and just tell her how it is. And I wanted to make it soft. I wanted to manipulate her view of me, and that she would still like sponsor me, and she would still like me. And I had a weird feeling after telling her, and she didn't tell me that she loves me in the end of the conversation like she usually does. And I was like, oh, that's a sign right there. I waited several days to talk to her more about it. And I did talk to a few other people and I got through it. Like, I was like, I have really, I have chosen her. And now she has all the facts. And if she keeps choosing me, that's what we're gonna do. As long as I'm not like hurting myself in the process, we're gonna keep working together. And I feel like I get to practice all my spiritual principles, and the principles before for personalities, both with my personality and hers. Like, it's like politics, religion, like culture, it has nothing to do with our relationship. And it's not easy to just look away from that fact. It's not been easy for me. But yeah, principles before personalities, and she's still the best sponsor for me right now. I'm really, really appreciative of her and how she is dealing with this, and just having faith that she has a sponsor, she has a program. Like, I don't have to know what she's how she is processing these facts about me. Like, and I cannot demand perfection from anyone. I cannot like demand, like, I have pretty fucked up views on things too. Like, it's just how we are as humans. And like, just accepting her humanity and that what we do in these rooms, what our relationship is about, is recovery. And it's her recovery that is attractive to me. I don't care what country she lives in. I can still connect with her as a human being. I can still connect with her from a heart to heart level. I can still connect to her from a recovery standpoint. It hasn't been easy. I'm not going to say this was just like a walk in the park. I've had a really rough time the last year, really. I had an accident. I had a bad concussion from that accident. And at the same time, my income was taken away from me because of some authority decisions. And I'm not employable right now, so I'm getting my money from the state. And they just decided to withdraw it. And that was a crisis in itself. I had just moved in with my boyfriend and now he's supporting me like a new, like, we've been together for 2 years and we just moved in together. And like, it was like a lot of in your face life on life's terms in the last 6 months. And I got depressed. Like, I really, like, a clinical depression happened. And yeah, it wasn't easy, and I wasn't taking care of myself as I need to. I need a lot of self-care, which, like, recovery is, like, my daily program of recovery is a big part of that, taking care of myself. I still did step work, I still did all the things, but I didn't go to as much meetings, and I didn't share as much, and that has affected my connection to the fellowship and to my recovery. So I'm just in the process of picking things up and putting it back together, but like in a new way. Like, finishing my step 11 right now was such like right on time, as it tends to be. Like, I'm great at overworking myself. I'm a big perfectionist. I'm so like, I'm a really hard boss to myself, and I have chronic pain. I have a lot of mental shit going on, and with neurodivergence on different ends of that scale, and PTSD and whatnot. Like, I have stuff that is affecting my life and my way of dealing with things, and how severe I f how I perceive things. Let me just put it like that. And like right now, I'm in the knowing of that my higher power's will for me is not that. It's not to exhaust myself, to be hard on myself, to work myself to complete exhaustion every single day. Like we just moved into this amazing place, and it's a little tiny farm, and we got some animals. Like love animals. I love nature. I love forest. I love growing things. But like I can so easily just make it miserable anywhere in the world. Like it doesn't matter the setting, the people around me, if everything is perfect, it's still me. I'm still dealing with me. Like I'm an addict and my problem's name is Emily. Like really, that's so true. And my disease is so unimpressed with my almost 5 years of recovery. It's so unimpressed of my step work, like step 11. It doesn't give a fudge. But like I've realized that I've been self-willing a lot of things with like around that and how I treat myself coming out of state step 8, step 9, and looking at myself on a daily basis in step 10. Like all of the stuff has really helped, and all of the other previous steps, of course, before that, like they live inside of me. They are my new way of life, but I need to maintain it. I cannot get lazy with my recovery. That's the only thing I cannot get lazy with. But I wish I was more lazy in other ways. Like, I wish. But wishing is not what we do here, right? Like, this is not a wishing program. This is an action program. And what I started to do with step 11 was that I've implemented daily meditation and prayer. And man, has that helped. Like that self-willing things that I was like, I want to change so bad, but I'm not able to. Like just fighting my own self and thinking that I can think my way to a solution to my problems. Looking at it right now, like in hindsight, a little bit, is like, how crazy have I been? Like, how deep have I been in the disease? Pretty freaking deep, I would say. That inability. Yeah, it really came through that inability to accept personal responsibilities and just surrendering to my inadequacy. Like, doing a step 3 with a sponsee right now, and that's also like timely because it helps me remember step 3. I realized how insignificant I am, how insignificant but and powerless I am, but also how surrender helps me. It makes me free, surrender. And just surrendering to the fact that I cannot, but we can. It's so powerful. And reconnecting with my higher power is a big, big part of that. I came in to this program. I was calling myself an atheist because I was like, I'm not going to buy anything that anyone else tells me. I need to see it for myself. I'm not going to believe in something that I cannot see proven myself. Now I would say I'm more of an eclectic believer, but I'm not a seeker anymore. I found my solution. What I believe in is Narcotics Anonymous. I believe in the program of recovery that we have. And that we so willingly and freely give to each other. Like that's why I'm here. I still need help. I'm still sick. Like, I still need meetings. I still need step work just for today. I need this program for the rest of my life. Just for today, because that makes it manageable to me. I need to do these things, but I only need to do them one day at a time. So it's not my higher power's will for me to be stressed out all the time. It's not my higher power's will for me to be in excruciating pain every single day. But when I surrender and pray for willingness, pray for courage to do things that are good for me, and take the time to do my exercises, to take my walks, to be in connection with my higher power in the forest or on the lake. I'm an avid paddleboarder. I do the stand-up paddleboarding, and I feel so connected when I'm out there on the water. That's how I cured my depression this time around. I went out there. It was a windy day, and I was like, I'm just going out because I need this. And somewhere in that struggle, I wanted to give up. I was like, I'm not getting anywhere. The wind is too strong. And I had to find that little spark inside of me, the same spark that I found when I was surrendering and going to my first meeting, because I wanted to live. I didn't want to die. I just didn't know how. How do I live? I've tried everything. So I had some wind on the lake. And I was like, if I give up now, I'm going to end up over there, and that's not going to get me home. That w it was just some area with like, I was, yeah, I don't know the word in English, but it was not home. It was not where I came from. It was not where I was going, where what I was aiming for. I was like, what are my options? There's no giving up out there. There's no I can't, I don't want to, or come help me. I needed to find that power inside of me. And I did. And I felt the depression letting go of me in that moment. It wasn't like a huge, like, it felt like a miracle to me because I could feel it. I found that fighting spirit, that healthy aggression that I've been looking for my whole life. I have never had access to it. I've become a better partner because of it. Like, I can stand up for myself today. I can set boundaries. I can speak my needs. We can I can keep looking at my end of things, thanks to my amazing sponsor also. She always tells me, like, just if you act different, he's going to act different. If you start validating his feelings, he's going to validate your feelings. And I was like, don't I already do that? And I was like, no, I'm just demanding someone else to do it for me. So I'm like, I have a lot of things to learn. Just getting into a relationship in recovery has been an amazing experience. My first ever clean relationship. And we both have a program. We both have sponsors. And we have the same home group. And we go to the same meetings. But we do it also individually. And finding that autonomy in unity has been a huge challenge for me, because I've been this symbiotic relationship person where I completely go into like union with another person. And but we've been taking things slowly. I've been using my program, and we get through things, difficult feelings, conflict, different views on things. And this whole thing with the money and me not having an income has taught me a lot. on how to be humble and accept help, and that it doesn't say anything about my value as a person. Yeah. That my achievements are not a measure of how valuable I am on this earth. I'm not that like valuable. Like I'm just one, another recovering addict. I'm just one person, you know, but it's still, I can see my value today. I can see that I have a value. And the value is to be there for other people, to get to do service and to be kind and just be civil and treat myself with respect, be honest with other people without hurting them. I'm just a little bit wondering how, with time, Ellen.
You can keep going. You're all good.
Okay. Yeah, I'm feeling like I'm getting ready to wrap up. I hope that is okay too. Yep.
Perfect.
I see you. So I'm living my dream life. That's kind of what I want to end on, that note. I hope my dream partner, I just didn't know where he was or how he was gonna look or but I know now that he is my perfect person, and sharing a life together with someone, having that partnership and that mutual respect and the mutual, like we have the same interests, we have the same dreams, we have a little bit different skill sets, but we're all about like the country life, and we just had bunny babies the other week, and now we have, I think 19 bunnies. Yeah, and a whole bunch of chickens to take care of. And it's just an amazing, amazing life that we get to live. And I'm like, I can be unhappy anywhere, you know? Like I can be sick anywhere. I can be anxious, I can be depressed anywhere in the world. It's not the solution. It's not in my surroundings. The solution is the inner work that I keep doing with the help of Narcotics Anonymous and the 12 steps of Narcotics Anonymous. That I keep doing service, that I keep working steps. I mean, without that framework of the program, I would be lost. I would be lost with the crisis that I've been going through in the last year. Like moving in with another person, another addict, would be lost after a few weeks. Like I've done that before. But like we're still together over 2 years now, and we're still together. We're more in love than ever, and we get through difficult things together. I have difficult feelings, and I get through them. I survive. Every single time I have a feeling, I know it's going to pass. I know that I can call someone if it's unmanageable, if it feels overwhelming. I know that I'm not alone. I'm so grateful, so, so grateful to be an addict. It's the best thing that could happen to me. I'm not like a huge believer of meaning and stuff. I know we can make meaning. I do know today that I have a purpose. I choose to have a purpose, and it's to carry this message of recovery that an addict, any addict, can stop using drugs and lose the desire to use. I know it because I've seen it, I've experienced it. I keep hearing it in these rooms. I keep seeing the newcomers. The light turns on in their eyes, and they actually catch on. Like it's such a blessing. Like if there's anything that I believe, it's that what we do here actually works, is my experience. Thank you for letting me share my experience, strength, and hope. Yeah. So grateful that I was invited to share a little bit of my story. I hope it made s some sense to a anyone. To someone. All right. I'm gonna end it there. Thank you so much, and welcome to anyone who's new. You're at home here if you want to.
Thank you so much, Emily.